Okay, Virote, so let us continue. We're up to the two dots on Chaf Beis on the base. Last week we spoke about when if you have equal amounts of sun and shade, do we look at it from the top, we look at it from the bottom, etc. In terms of the fact that the sun will spread or the shade will spread, we learned that machlokes have been shown them. And now we're going to move on to the next topic, which is that the Mishnah on Chof Beis Amud Aleph tells me that if I have thick schach, as thick as a house, even though you can't see the stars, it still is kosher. This is actually surprising for some people that if you can't see the stars, it still is kosher. It's not the Gemara. Tan Rabban Hamu'uva Kimin Bayis. If you cannot see the stars, it's kosher. In other words, everyone agrees that it's kosher when you cannot see the stars. But if you cannot see Kochvei Chama, so then there is a machlokas. Base Shammai and base Hillel, if it is going to be kosher. That's basically the Gemara in a nutshell. So, two questions. One, what exactly are stars versus Kochvei Chama? And two, is this kosher l'chatchila or is it only kosher b'diavad? Those are the two questions we have to address when we talk about a sukkah that you cannot see the stars. So, anyone have suggestions? I don't like it when I talk too much. Does anyone have suggestions on either of these kashas? Rashi takes a stand on at least one of these issues.
So I was thinking he was saying his raised sun, like that
Right.
comes through the star.
So Rashi is saying that Koch Vechama means rays of sun get through it. Meaning that according to Beis Shammai, if I have a sukkah that no sunlight gets through, right? Remember, the previous conversation we had last week was about more sun than shade, etc. And let's say I have a sukkah that is all shade. Sun rays do not penetrate the sukkah bichlal. So in that case, Beis Shammai says it is possible. According to Beis Shammai, if no sun gets through, again, the way Rashi learns the Gemara, no sun gets through. So that is like a house, right? We spoke about how the pasuk in Parshas Vayishlach says that Yaakov Avinu comes to Sukkos, Vayivan lo bayis, or Miknehu asa Sukkos, Alken kara shem ha'ir Sukkos, right? So there's a difference in the Torah between a bayis and a sukkah. We don't know exactly what this difference is. Beis Shammai says that if no sunlight gets through, that's like a bayis, it's not a sukkah. That's the Gemara according to Beis Shammai, as understood by Rashi. The Vilna Gaon, however, in his notes on the Shulchan Aruch from some in Tafresh Lamed Aleph Sif Gimel, the Gra, I think, takes the approach that is more reasonable. What do you think Koch Vechama are? If you would just see those words, how would you translate those words on your own? I'm not sure if you're trying to say something, Rachel. If you are muted.
Maybe sunny, like bright stars.
Bright stars, meaning stars that you could see during the day, meaning planets. Right? Usually, any of you into astronomy? No? I think planets are noticeable during the day if you know where to look. Ordinary stars, with the exception of like the brightest star, the North Star, whatever, you cannot see them during the day, even if you know where to look. The brightest stars are called the Koch Vechama. That's what the Vilna Gaon says. Jasmine?
Yeah, is it possible that it could mean the moon?
that if the moon is like a star and that in that it reflects the light of the sun as opposed to having its own light.
I think so. It could refer to the moon. Again, according to Chazal, there are seven Kochvei Leches. There are seven moving stars, which are basically sun, moon, and five of the planets. So the Sheva Kochvei Leches, that's what it's called. Again, it could be it's the moon also. The moon is seen during daylight. The point is that it is big stars, right? Or it's the type of thing that you could see during the daytime. Again, in halacha, this is relevant, of course, like for Matzei Shabbos, right? When I want to determine when Shabbos is over, so I don't use big stars, I don't use tiny stars, I use medium-sized stars. So our Gemara, to some extent, is saying that. If the sukkah is so thick, the staff is so thick that you cannot see kochvei chama, so Beis Shammai says it's no good. Meaning, if you cannot see the very large stars, you have to be able, according to Beis Shammai, to see the largest possible stars in this explanation. Now, most Rishonim comment that lichatchila, the sukkah should be able to see the stars. Right? Our whole conversation in the Gemara is if it is mu'uva k'min bayis, is it k'shera or not? If you cannot see the gigantic stars and you can't see the sun rays, is it kosher or not? Beis Hillel says it's kosher. That means lichatchila, you're not supposed to do that according to Beis Hillel. A sukkah is supposed to be able to see the stars. So this thing that you all learned in grade school, that that you have to be able to see the stars, is somewhat true. That's l'chatchila, you have to be able to see the stars. That seems to be the halacha, the way it makes it, that's the way it makes it to Shulchan Aruch. That's point one. Point two is that in the same din of Shulchan Aruch, there is the conversation that we had all the way back when in Daf Beis. Again, we're talking about thick schach. So thick schach is kosher. Even if it's thick like a roof, it's going to be kosher. However, if the schach is so thick that rain does not get into it, so then Rabbeinu Tam and Daf Beis tells us that the sukkah is possible. By definition, Rabbeinu Tam says, rain has to be able to penetrate. There is a discussion in the poskim. What does that mean? How much rain has to get in? And does it mean that the rain will penetrate while it's raining? Or is it considered that rain gets into the sukkah? Oftentimes, like you have so much rain that accumulates that eventually it ends up coming in. But at first, your sukkah is protected. So if you look in the Mishnah Brura on that Simon, Tafresh Lamanav, Sif Gimel, he has two opinions about this conversation, about if the rain does not get in at all. Some Rishonim are, some Rishonim passel the sukkah. And in the notes on the new Mishnah Berurah, the new Dirshu Mishnah Berurah, they talk about that most poskim feel that doesn't have to be that the rain gets in right away, even if the rain gets in only after it accumulated. That still is going to be sufficient for the sukkah to, what's it called? That's still sufficient for the sukkah to be kosher. Okay. Hello, Tanya Farber. How are you?
Hi. Rabbi Schwartz. I always remember things in some sort of fuzzy way, but I remember something more explicit than Rabbeinu Tam's. A pasuk from Yeshayahu talking about the winds.
Yeah, and so like that's, where, that's where it comes up on the Beis Amid Aleph. If you remember, this whole sukkah is how come a sukkah above 20 amos is going to be problematic, etc. So the Gemara quotes a pasuk from Yeshayahu, the sukkah tia, right? Let's say yomam, etc. Mitzel mimatar, right? That's the pasuk that the Gemara quotes. That appears like on the top of here, on Dalet Amud Aleph. Reb Zeira says that a sukkah that is too tall is not good because the sukkah is supposed to provide shade. Sukkah tiyal tzeil yomam mechorev, etc. And if it's too tall, it doesn't, you don't get the shade of the stach, you get the shade of the walls. So the problem is that the Gemara, or that pasuk says it's also going to protect you from rain, right? So what happens over there? So that was where this conversation came up originally, etc. Good. By the way, you're very generous to yourself. You always say, like, I'm not sure if I remember it well. It's like a little bit fuzzy, and then you actually do remember it. But that's a different story. Yeah. Hi, Zoe.
Hi, Rabbi Schwartz. How are you?
Thank God. How are you? Like, okay, we did the formal introductions. Let's go back there. Yeah.
Okay. Also good, thank God. Is this one of the Vilna Gaon science moments or no?
Is this a Vilna Gaon science moment? Over here he doesn't reference science per se. He just writes that the Rambam seems to say that Koch Vechama are large stars as opposed to Rashi. That's what he says. He's not wearing his scientist hat. I know that you liked my share in Boston. I spoke about the Vilna Gaon and science, but I don't think that's relevant to this. Okay, weiter.
Can I ask a further
question? Hello, yes.
I'm just not so, I guess, convinced that when we use like the Lashon of Machshirin, it's somehow teaching us that that Beis Hillel really thinks Lechachila, it wouldn't be kosher. Like, it says Machshirin, I don't know.
So you're saying that maybe Machshirin means that's even kosher Lechachila. It's possible. And I'm sort of glossing stuff over a teeny bit. If you would look in the Rush, in the end of Simon Gimel. So the Rush quotes our Gemara. It's the last like four lines of the Rush. So the Rush writes, Tan Rabbonon en kochavim nirim mitocha it's kosher, en kochichama nirim mitocha beshamai pasols beisomach shirin Yerushalmi. Hada amrit, tzvicha kochavim nirim mitocha. Reb Levi says, the kochichama shanu. Yerushalmi writes, that you have to see the stars, and Reb Levi says it means you have to see the Koch Lechama. Peyush, tzrichim lechatchila, says the Rush. Kediktayim bebreisa, besal machshirin b'diyaven, aval lechatchila, you have to be able to see it. So you're right. The word machshirin itself, I don't know if I would have made the diuk on my own, but, you know, Rabbi Usher, the son of Yechiel in the 13th century, made this diuk, so I'm kind of comfortable blaming it on him. You're right. I don't necessarily, I think what the Rush is doing is he's trying to level the playing field. The Yerushalmi has a machlokes, and our Gemara says it's kosher. So he wants to say, oh, the machlokes in the Yerushalmi is whether it's possible to yevet, and even our Gemara says it's not kosher lechatchila. He's trying to level the playing field that way. That's my understanding of the Rush. Okay, next Mishnah. Look at the Mishnah. Ha'osa sukasa b'rosh ha'agola o b'rosh ha'sfina k'shera. If you make a sukkah on top of a wagon or on top of a boat, it is kosher. The Prima Gadim has a comment that if I build a sukkah on top of a boat or on top of a wagon, the sukkah is kosher. But that is only if the wagon is not moving at that time. If I want to sit in a sukkah, like, you know, Chabad, does Chabad have like sukkah mobiles, like they have mitzvah mobiles? If you want to sit in the sukkah while they're driving down the street, the Prima Gadim says that's not the mitzvah sukkah at all. That's his comment. Most don't like this Prima Gadim at all. You get the impression from Rashi that perhaps he agrees with this Prima Gadim. Again, I'm not convinced of this, but it's a possibility within Rashi. Rashi writes, "Osa sukasa b'rosha agola af ogav demetaltala v'lo kaviyah." I'm reading Rashi to say that even though the wagon is movable and it's not kavua in one place, it is still kosher, meaning it's not permanently affixed in one place. But you do not see from Rashi that it would be kosher if the if I'm sitting in the sukkah while it's if I'm sitting in the sukkah on the wagon while the wagon is moving. Again, that's the comment of the Prima Godin, possibly Rashi is going out of his way, right? Rashi doesn't have to say, right? It's on top of a wagon, even though the wagon is movable, right? We all know what a wagon is. So it could be, it seems to me, that what Rashi is trying to say is, yeah, we're talking about that even though the wagon is movable, it still is a kosher sukkah. I would think that it is considered too arai because it's movable. Nonetheless, it still is kosher. But Rashi might not be saying that it's kosher if it's moving at this time. Again, I'm not sure, but it seems to me at least a possible read of Rashi. Fine. So Zakhda Mishnah. I build my sukkah on top of a wagon or on top of a boat. It is kosher. Rashi's comment is that you're building it on the high part of the boat. Meaning to say that because it's so high up on the boat, so therefore the wind will blow the sukkah. It's so high up that the mountains don't surround it, Rashi says. No idea exactly what that's supposed to mean, but the point is it's so high up that the wind will get to it. Okay. And then the Mishnah says, "Va'omen lo b'yantiv." You're allowed to go onto the boat or onto the wagon on yantiv. And Rashi comments that this means, as opposed to the next case in the Mishnah, when I build my sukkah on top of a tree, that the halach is I'm not allowed to go into that sukkah on yantiv because I can't climb trees on yantiv. In this case, you say on top of a boat, you can. B'rosh ha'ilon, o al gabei gomel, if you build the sukkah on top of a tree or on the camel, k'shera ve'ein olin la b'yantiv. It's a kosher sukkah, but you cannot go into that sukkah on yantiv. So what does that mean? It's a kosher sukkah, but you can't go into the sukkah on yantiv. So Rashi has two comments, two perushim. The first perush of Rashi is that it's a kosher sukkah, and you could use it on a chol hamoed. Meaning, obviously I can't use it on yantiv because I can't climb the tree on yantiv. But that would also mean, l'cha'ora, that I could have a kosher sukkah when the sukkah is not usable for all 7 days of yantiv. Maybe we had a discussion in the Tanayim earlier about whether you need sukkah ru'uya l'shiva. Does a sukkah have to be chag ha'sukkos ta'asalocha Shiv'as Yamin? Does a sukkah have to be something that's usable for all 7 days of Yantiv? In this case, it's a little strange. It's usable in the sense of you could sit in it, but it's usher to sit there. So that called the sukkah haru'uya l'shiva. That's the trying to remember exactly where. I think it's actually in the Gemara that we did not do ourselves yet. I think it's like on Chaf Dalet or Chaf Hey, right, where the Gemara says that according to the Gemara talks about using an animal as the wall of a sukkah. Okay.
Didn't we also do a sukkah on where the sukkah is in a chatzer, or I think it was a chatzer, not a mavoy?
Right.
And then you wouldn't be able to bring food or to be able to eat?
I think you're thinking of a sukkah that we had that the Gemara says that I can, since something counts as a mechitza for Shabbos, it also counts as a mechitza for Sukkah. Is that what you're thinking of?
Yeah. But did we also say there, wasn't there machloket whether you can use it on Shabbos? Maybe I'm misremembering.
No. I mean, you're referring to Gemara Daf Zayin Amud Aleph, that you could have, let's say, a Tzuris HaPesach, which is not a good wall for Sukkah purposes, but since it helps for Shabbos purposes, it will also help for the Sukkah as well. And the basic idea is, I'm reading this Rashi, that you could have a Sukkah that is kosher only on Chol HaMoed, not kosher the rest of the Yontif. But then the second opinion in Rashi goes on to say, yeah, hi Zoe.
Hi Rabbi Schwartz. Isn't it more that the Sukkah itself is kosher, you can't access it?
Okay. So
it's like an important distinction though.
That is the question.
Right.
If can I speak about a kosher Sukkah when I can't use it? Right? So I think the first pshat in Rashi is saying that, yes, you cannot use the Sukkah, but it still is going to be kosher. Don't tell me that it's not a Sukkah that's Ru'uya for all 7 days. I think that's really what Rashi is getting at in this first pshat. The second pshat in Rashi, is that the Sukkah is a kosher. Actually, I'm referring to the Gemara Chof Zayin Amud Beis. The Gemara Chof Zayin Amud Beis, Rabbi Eliezer says, like four lines on top of Chof Zayin, Rabbi Eliezer says, has to be Chag HaSukkah Tassuch HaShivas Yomim, has to be a Sukkah that's Re'uya for all 7 days. Therefore, according to Rabbi Eliezer, you're not allowed to build a Sukkah on Chol HaMoed. The Sukkah has to be built before Yontif. That's his sheet on Chof Zayin Amud Beis. Okay. The second pshat in Rashi is that the Sukkah is kosher even on Yontiv, in the sense of if you went into the Sukkah on Yontiv, so you get the mitzvah of Sukkah. If you go into the Sukkah on Yontiv, you get the mitzvah of Sukkah. Apparently, it's not called the mitzvah Bob Avera, even though in order to get into the Sukkah, I have to violate the Avera of climbing a tree, because somehow the Avera doesn't directly impact on the mitzvah. Sometimes the Yerushalmi writes, if a person tears Kriya on Shabbos, they get the mitzvah of tearing Kriya, even because it's just a side issue of Shabbos. Mitzvah Bab Avera means that the mitzvah object, the chepta shel mitzvah, was obtained through an aveira. In this case, I happen to have done an aveira, but I still get the mitzvah. There is a discussion which Thomas Amon Arbach has about, can you make a bracha though in this case? If you climb into the tree on your tree sukkah, you climb into it on Yontif, can you make a bracha? One could argue that Lamaisa, you're not supposed to be there. So how can you make a bracha? How can you make a bracha to Hashem when you're doing something that you're not supposed to do? There is a discussion in postgame, if I climb a tree on Shabbos, so do I have to come down? So if I climb a b'mezid, we give you a knas that you have to stay up on top of the tree the whole Shabbos, no? If you climb up the shogeg, so then you can go down. There's a discussion post-game. Is it that you can go down or that you have to go down? The Avnei Nezer in his Sefer Eglei Tal on Shabbos writes that you have to go down because he assumes that every second that you're sitting on the tree, you violate another Avera. And even though when I jump off the tree, I'm violating the Avera in a more active way, it's better to violate one bigger Avera than many smaller Averas. So that's like, I have a lot to say. This is like one of my favorite topics, but if I start talking about this, we're not going to get anywhere. So let's just leave it. If you climb onto an animal on Shabbos, whether it's shogeg or mezid, you have to go down because it's Tzar Balachayim. If you climb onto a tree on Shabbos, so if it's mezid, we give you a knas that you have to stay up there the entire Shabbos. Okay, that's the halacha.
So if I build a sukkah on top of a tree or on top of a camel, it's kosher, but I can't go up on yontif. Ein olin la. The expression olin is always the expression for sukkah, because in their time, sukkahs were built on the roof. So we always speak about ola, to go up to the sukkah. Yored is coming down from the sukkah. Shtayim b'ilon v'achas b'dei odom. Shtayim b'dei odom v'achas b'ilon k'shera. V'ein olin la b'yontif. Shalosh b'dei odom v'achas b'ilon k'shera. V'olin la b'yontif. Zahaklau. Kol she'inatel ha'ilon v'yichola la'amo b'fnei atma k'shera. V'olin la b'yontif. Okay, who wants to explain this to me? See, the way I cheat is I just like read it in Hebrew and I don't translate anything, and then I kind of throw it to you.
No takers? I can try it.
I give you permission.
I'm asking the rest of the shiur and I'm happy to pass it off. Okay, so if you have two walls that are part of the tree and one that is put up by the hands of the person, or if you have two that are put up by the hands of the person and one that's of the tree, it's kosher, but you can't climb up to it on Yom Tov. If you have three that are put up by the hands of the person and one that is the tree, it's kosher, and you can climb up to it in Yom Tov. So the general principle is that if it's dependent on the tree, if the sukkah can stand by itself, it's not dependent on the tree, then it's kosher, and then you can climb into it in Yom Tov.
Right. I mean, yeah, you read the Mishnah, you explained the Mishnah. What I would say is, if we would try to do it a little more succinctly, so what the Mishnah is saying is that a sukkah needs three walls. If you have even one of the walls that is tree, so you're not allowed to go into it on yontif. But if you have a sukkah of four walls and three are man-made and the fourth one is a tree, then you are allowed to go into yontif. You are allowed to go into that sukkah on yontif. Because since there are three man-made walls, so therefore it's not like you're using the tree when you go into the sukkah, because it could stand on its own without the tree. Right? Something with three walls on its own is self-sustaining. So the fact that I have the fourth wall being a tree doesn't mean that I should not go into that sukkah. No, since it could stand up on its own, you don't need the tree for it to stand. It's a kosher sukkah. It's a sukkah that you're allowed to go into on yontif. That's what the Mishnah says. Okay. But there is a machlokas Rashi and Tosfos how to understand this Mishnah. Just what's the scenario of the Mishnah? And honestly, I did not fully get this right away.
But look at Rashi. Rashi shtayim b'ilon v'achas b'dei odom. Like two of the walls are the tree and one is man-made. So Rashi writes, Samach harkotis hasukah rubo b'ilon.
Right, meaning, according to Rashi, I'm talking about the ground level of the sukkah. If, we'll have to go like this. And let's say this is the ground level of the sukkah. So this is going to be a tree. This is going to be a tree. That means two of the sides, let's say side A and side B, are here. Well, they're three trees, okay? Side A and side B are sustained by trees.
this area is man-made, right? It's supported on two sides. It's supported by trees. The third side is self-supporting, where it's supported by something that I built. According to Rashi, the issue at hand is sukkah floor. Is the sukkah floor primarily tree, or is it primarily asui bidei adam? As long as there's any amount that is tree, as long as even one of the sides is tree, you cannot go into it on Yontif. It's only going to be usable on Yontif if you'd have three man-made sides, three asui bidei adam sides, because in that case, you don't need the tree at all to keep the sukkah up. But Rashi's presentation of this Gemara is that we're talking about the floor of the sukkah. And then Rashi also writes, by the way, these trees kind of do double duty. They extend up and they also serve as the walls of the sukkah. Okay. Should we read that Rashi inside?
Let's look at Rashi. We'll read if Tosis quotes the Rashi word for word. Let's just read in the Rashi side. It's easier. Like four lines in the bottom on Chof Beis and Midbeis. Zot Rashi, Samach Karkois HaSukkah Rubo Be'ilon. You support the floor of the sukkah. The majority of the floor of the sukkah is supported by a tree. V'asa Sviva Berosha Ilon Shtei Mechitzos.
And around it, you make two mechitzos. You make two walls. Yeah, I could do my... Right, these are the mechitzos. Those are the green things, right? That's,
you make it around.
The achas osa midei adam ba'aretz. One side of the sukkah is on the ground. Again, you could imagine, let's say, you know, like sometimes bungalows, you have one side that's on the ground and the two of the sides are up, raised over the ground. Like the land is not level. Some of the buildings in the heights are like that, no? That the, if you go up Overlook Terrace at like 186, 187, it turns around, there's like a apartment building that like one part of it is on the ground and it's like built on stilts, so to speak. So that's the way Rashi learns this Gemara or this Mishnah. Rashi is saying that you have two walls supported by trees and then on the other side, it's on the ground. It's not supported by the tree. And you happen to have mechitzos also.
So that's the way Rashi learns it. Here, I'm continuing the Rashi. V'asa sviva v'roshin on shtei mechitzos. On top of the tree, you make mechitzos. V'achas asa bidei adam ba'aretz. One mechitza is, or one side, excuse me, of the sukkah is on the ground itself. V'samach tzas karkas ha-sukkah be'emtza adolfin. And some of the sukkah floor is in the middle of the wall.
Right? Basically, if the floor of the sukkah is not self-supporting, if you need the trees to support the floor of the sukkah, so then you're not allowed to go into the sukkah on Yontiv. That is Rashi's take on the Gemara, on the Mishnah. So far, so good? Okay, how does Tosis learn?
The little Tosis at the bottom, Shtayim be'ilon. So you can just skip the first like seven lines, of the first five lines of the Tosis. It says, Kach pirsh b'kontras in the second wide in the second wide line, and then Tos says Lo Mashma Hachi.
Anyone?
I'm not sure if I understand it, but maybe the issue is that you may just end up pushing against the tree and like basically touching it.
Good. Pushing wet again, or let's say pushing wet against the tree before we...
Wasn't it the walls and you're using the branches of the tree?
So I'm using the branches of the tree. And Tosis is saying the Gemara, here, let's read it inside.
I'll tell you the trick first. This is a tree, right? This is a tree. And I'm putting my schach over here. I'm putting my schach on top of the trees. And Tosis is saying that there's a concern that you might hang stuff up from the tree, and that will be mishtamish b'ilon. Tosis is quoting from the Gemara on Shabbos, Daf Kuf and Dalet. We could read it inside in Tosis. I probably should have assigned this to you when I gave the Makoros. The Rush, I think, has a slightly clearer lashon on the Tosis. But let's just read the Tosis inside. Below Mashma Hachi in Perek Misha Hechshech. The Gemara in the last Perek of Shabbos does not sound that way. The Diak Mihacha did Studim Asurin. The Gemara has a discussion about this din of Mishtamish B'ilon. Right? The halacha is I'm not allowed to, let's say, climb a tree on Shabbos, no? And a tree is the tree. There are branches on the tree. By the way, my people and my trees look exactly the same. That's just because I'm an amazing artist. But the point...
Aren't people usually triangular and dead?
I was going to say your dead people look different.
Okay, fine. So they don't look the same. But the point is, this is my tree. So I'm not allowed to climb a tree on Shabbos. What about being mishtamesh b'tzidei ilon? Can I hang a bag from the tree? So, of course not, no? If I hang a bag from the tree, I'm using the tree. Can I put stuff that's in a bag that's on the tree? I remember as a kid, like the first time I learned this halacha, used to play kickball with my friends on Shabbos. So like we got one of the balls into the tree and like I just learned the halacha that you're not allowed to take a ball down from the tree. And I'm like, no, we have to leave it. I'm like, all my friends are like, no, what are you saying? Like, don't get some religion on me or something. This is like one of the traumatic moments in my childhood. But I'm not allowed to be mishtamesh b'ilon. They can't climb the tree. Tzidei ilon, I also can't use. Meaning I can't put something in a bag that's on the tree.
We were discussing Hilchos hammock in our...
Hilchos hammock, exactly. So if I have a tree, right? So if I want to attach my hammock, right, between the two branches of the tree, that's forbidden. No? But if I have a nail coming out of the tree and I attach my hammock to the nail, so then if I go into the hammock, I am going into what is called tzidei tzadim. I'm going into the sides of a tree. Okay, let's go again. Tree, right? Can't climb the tree. Got it. If I have a nail in the tree, that is tzidei ilon. You're not allowed to use tzidei ilon either. But if I have a nail in the tree and there's a hammock from the nail, so the hammock is tzidei tzadim. The hammock is attached to something that's attached to the tree. So then I'm allowed to go into tzidei tzadim. Okay, so the case that I had before of the bag that's in the tree, I can't put something in the bag because the bag is the same as the nail that's coming out of the tree. I'm not allowed to hang something on that nail directly. If the hammock was already hanging there from before Shabbos, so then that's an extra thing, that's tzidet stadim, right? It's like twice removed, and that's kosher. Tzidet stadim, I'm allowed to use the hammock. So in the context of that Gemara in Hilchos Hammock, I think that's what Tanya called it. So in context of that Gemara in Hilchos Hammock, so the Gemara has a discussion about whether we paskin that studim is mutter or usser, and the Gemara tries to bring a proof from our sugya.
And the way Tosfos understands that Gemara that invokes our sugya, we'll pick up like from two lines from the Bar Mitzvos. The word umash is the last here. One second. Da'aminon, right? Two lines from the bottom. Da'aminon. My lav dechok be be'ilon, v'anach be'kanim. Isn't the case that you dig into the tree and you put posts there, meaning you stick the schach, the kanim in this case is the schach, you stick it into the tree, and that would be tzadim. Umashma. It sounds like from that Gemara, the marisha ilon defanos l'sukkah, the konim shall sukkah nismachim al ha'ilon.
The case is that the tree is the sukkah walls, and you have the konim of the sukkah, meaning the schach is leaning on the tree. Then you konis babi yantiv, if you go into it on yantiv, gezeira shema yaniya cheftzo al haschach. The concern is that if I have my beautiful trees, no? If I have my tree, and I have my schach that is resting on the tree. The concern is I'm going to go into the sukkah. I'm going to get hot. I'll take off my jacket. I'll put my jacket on top of the schach. And then I'll be mishtamish be'ilon. Because my schach is resting on the tree. And stodim is usher. You can't put something on that nail, which is into the tree. Right? I can only use the hammock, which was previously attached to the nail to the tree, but I can't hang the hammock on the nail on Shabbos. I can't put my jacket on the schach because the schach is resting on the tree. That would be mishtamesh be'ilon. And there is a gezeira. Right, the Gemara understands, Gemara Masechet Shabbos, that Tosfos is quoting, is that there is a gezeira. Don't make your sukkah in a way that the schach is resting on the tree, because we're worried that it's going to lead to taking your jacket and hanging it up on the schach. That's why Tosfos understands that Gemara. So the difference between Rashi and Tosfos is, according to Rashi, our Mishnah is talking about resting the floor of the sukkah on a tree. Whereas according to Tosfos, we're talking about resting the schach of the sukkah on a tree. According to Rashi, the issue is actually walking on the sukkah is mishtamish be'ilon. According to Tosfos, we're not walking on the sukkah for sure is mishtamish be'ilon. Right? If the sukkah floor is supported by the tree, of course you can't walk on that. That's not a shayla. The only question is when the schach of the sukkah is on the tree, do I make a gezeira that you might hang your jacket from the schach? That's why Tosfos learns the Gemara. It's very different than Rashi. Tanya, you look a little perplexed.
Yeah, no, I just think it's really weird because for a number of reasons, but maybe none of them would be reasons that Tosfos shouldn't say that. Like, your ceiling is very high up. Like, why would I put my jacket, like how would I reach that? I'm just thinking of it.
So Zuck the Mug and Avram, that this only made sense if they have a very short sukkah and there's a reasonable chance that you'll put your jacket on the schach. But if so the Mug and Avram says that Tosfos' whole concern doesn't make sense if the sukkah is relatively high up.
And also, would you be allowed to sit? I mean, we've talked about sheets and tapestries. I don't know. I'm just thinking, what does that mean to put your jacket over to spread it out? Have you made that area of the sukkah not kosher?
Yeah, I have a similar question to Tanya's of, do we have any other places where we're concerned you would be using schach? Because it seems like you're not supposed to use schach, especially on Yom Kippur.
I'm not supposed to use schach. Most assume what that means is I shouldn't like chip off a piece of the schach and use it as a toothpick. But technically speaking, you know, you have sukkah decorations. There's no real isser. It's chal shem shamayim on it. Okay, so you're not, it has kedusha. So you shouldn't use an item of kedusha. But Chazal are more worried, that Gemara in Shabbos is more worried that I might use the schach to hang up my jacket and then I'll be in violation of the isser mishtamish b'ilon. That's what the concern is. And what Tanya's saying is, a point that the Magen Avraham makes, is that this concern is only when it's somewhat reasonable. If the schach is very high up and no one would ever hang their jacket from that, so that's not a problem. The Mishnah Berura, however, is bothered by a strong kash on Taisus. The Mishnah Berura says, so what's our Gemara saying? Our Gemara is saying that, our Mishnah is saying that if you have three walls, which are man-made walls, and the fourth side is tree, so then it's not a problem, no? So I understand that according to Rashi. Because according to Rashi, what I'm saying is that since it would be supported on its own, so it's not considered like you're using the tree when you walk on the sukkah, because you don't need the tree to support the sukkah floor. But according to Tosfos, the Mishnah Berurah asks, that it's a gezeira that you might hang something on the tree or hang something on the tzidei ilon. So then, l'chaora, just because three of the walls are man-made, that doesn't mean that there's no gezeira that you might hang your jacket on the fourth side, where there's a tree. I understand if the issue is the way Rashi says it, that the question is, am I actually using the tree? When I walk on the sukkah, am I actually using the tree? So Rashi is going to say, you know what? If you have three man-made walls, that's not actually using the tree. But according to Tosfos, that's a gezeira. So then it's a little hard to understand why I would not make the gezeira just because it is self-supporting. And the Mishnah Berura raises this kasha. It's like a funny thing. Like, this kasha is quite fundamental. And the kasha is like, according to Tosfos, how do you learn the Mishnah? And the Mishnah Berura just writes in like a note in the Shaar HaTziyah. And he writes, yeah, according to the way the Gemara in Shabbos understands this case, it's really hard to understand the last line of the Mishnah. Yeah, Yashikaya, thank you very much. I don't know the answer to this question. It's a very strong question.
Does it have to be that the skach is on the tree wall? Or could the tree wall just be there and the skach is relying on the other three walls, like the man-made walls?
Again, does it have to be that the skach is on the tree, or?
Like, could it just be like a freestanding wall and then the skach is being supported by the other three man-made walls?
Oh, no, that's how you understand the case. So I have the skach is on, I have like trees on, let's say, three sides, right? So my skach is here, here, here. And on the fourth side over here, the schach is on the building. Is that what you're saying? Like, this side is a building, not on schach.
Sorry, I thought we were talking about a case where there were three man-made walls and one tree.
No, okay. Yeah, so if it's three man-made walls, so it's self-supporting, but still, shouldn't I be worried that I'm going to hang
the schach isn't. If the skach isn't on the tree wall at all, and it's being supported by the other three walls.
Oh, the skach is not on the tree wall at all.
Like, possibly. I don't know if there's a way to understand it like that, but then you would avoid the issue.
Again, you could say it like that. I don't know what the chiddush would be. Like, so if the skach is not on the tree, so of course it's kosher. Of course there's no room to make a gezeira. I thought the pshat is that the schach is certainly being supported by tree, But if the overwhelming majority is supported by something else and itself, it's standing on its own, so then I'm not worried about the one part that's supported by the tree. That's how I read it. Your read is interesting. That's the way you're interpreting it, is that it's not, the staff is not at all supported by the tree. You have three walls where the schach is supported by the wall, not by the tree. And on the fourth side, the schach is not supported by the tree either. The schach is never hanging on the tree. That's the last case of the Mishnah, according to you. Am I right, Tova?
Yeah, potentially. I don't know what it would be adding, but I guess that would be a way to read it, yeah.
I mean, right, exactly. I don't know what it's adding. I don't know what the chiddush would be, but... yeah, I just don't know what the chiddush is. And the Mishnah Berurah writes, he's like, he doesn't understand why it would be permitted, because he's understanding that on that fourth side, it is supported by a tree. Also, so if it's supported by a tree, shouldn't I make that gezerah that might hang stuff from the tree? Tanya's had a hand up.
Yeah, I'm really liking Tova's idea, and I'm reminded, like, isn't there a thing, davening, you're not supposed to lean on something, but if you move the thing and you don't fall over, then it's not actually quantified as you're, like, leaning on this thing. So I'm wondering if, playing with Tova's idea, it's not actually considered being supported by the tree. Like, even though literally it is supported by the tree, it's not called supported by the tree, because if you move the tree,
even though the schach is on the tree, so that's the pshat. In other words, it's permitted to hang my jacket from the schach that is technically on the tree, because halachically it's not on the tree.
I think also to add on to Tanya, if there's only one tree, you could say that maybe it's really leaning on the wall. Like, there's never going to be a case where there's one piece of schach being supported by two trees. So maybe, like, there's room to say that the wall is doing the majority of the supporting of whatever object you're putting on.
I think that's I think that's reasonable. The question is, like, la halacha, is that true? Am I allowed to hang my jacket from schach that is actually leaning on a tree, but the schach doesn't need the tree to stand? Is that... okay, again, it's possible that you just answered the Mishnah Berurah's kasha, which I think would be a great thing. Yashi Koach. Rachel, you have a comment?
I had a question with this sugya of trying to understand olin. Because that, to me, sounds like you're climbing the tree, which would be more like what Rashi was saying, because there has to necessitate some climbing.
So remember, the word olin means go into a sukkah. It doesn't necessarily mean climbing a tree, right? That's what we try to say.
Okay.
It's the euphemism for going into a sukkah, because sukkahs used to always be on the roof. So I speak about being ole into the sukkah, being yored from the sukkah. But ole does not mean climbing a tree. Right? It's not mitapes by ilan. It's just going into
a sukkah. Then I guess I still have the question on Rashi, then how are you supposed to get to the sukkah without climbing the tree?
Right, so according to Rashi, that's exactly the point. It's usher to use the sukkah because you're using a tree. When you walk in that sukkah, you are using the tree. Right? Tosfos is saying that being in the sukkah itself is not a problem. Right? The problem, according to Tosfos, is that you might hang your jacket.
And Tosfos writes that Rashi in Maseches Shabbos says it his way, says it Tosfos's way. But Rashi over here says something very different. According to Rashi, the issue is the floor of the sukkah, and is the floor being supported by a tree, or is the floor being supported not by the tree, but by the ground, or something man-made, whatever it is.
Rashi okay. With the karka fits the Mishnah better in a way, because when you're talking about Rosh Ha'agalah and Rosh Ha'sfina, you're talking about where the floor of the sukkah is.
Yeah. In other words, that's a good point. In other words, in context, we talked about where you're building the sukkah
in the sense of the floor of the sukkah. Mitosis is...
See, in the context of our Gemara, I think Rashi is 100% correct. And maybe that's the answer to the contradiction in Rashi's. Maybe the reason why Rashi in Shabbos... You see, this is for the Rashi scholars. When there's contradictions in Rashi, what do you do? So there's this fellow, Eliezer Lifshitz. He wrote the Mosad Rav Kook book called Rashi. So one of the theories is called the Shitat HaMadurot, which is a contradiction Rashi is resolved by saying that Rashi wrote his commentary a few different times. The first time Rashi wrote his commentary was Rashi the student. He's taking notes from his Rebbe. And then later on, Rashi worked on his notes. Then Rashi becomes a Rebbe and those are his own notes. That's like the Shita Madurot. The other Shita, which to some extent is probably more reasonable, is that Rashi explains Gemara's contextually. So in Masechet Shabbos, the context of that Gemara makes more sense that the schach is resting on the tree, because the Gemara has a conversation about stodim and sidet stodim. But in Masechet Sukkah, the context sounds much more like it's the floor of the sukkah. I happen to think that the contextual understanding of Rashi is a better understanding. I think, to the best of my knowledge, there is no real evidence that Rashi wrote his commentary a few different times. Yes, there are Rashi miksav yads, which are sometimes different, but I don't know if that means one is earlier, one is later. I don't know how you... I'm not such a manuscript guy. I don't know how you prove these things anyway. Dr. Lang.
Hi, Rabbi Schwartz. So is this common that with Rashi you would find two different... he would have two different comments even on the same Mishnah?
It happens all the time.
Okay.
And there's theories in Rashi, like Mamish, all the time.
I still don't understand. According to Rashi, in the case where you are allowed to go up because there's three sides that are man-made and one side tree, how are you getting to the sukkah?
I get it. I get into it from a man-made side. The halacha would say that because only one side of it is on the tree, so it's not considered like I'm using the tree. We judge the floor based on the majority of the supports.
Okay. And you don't need to climb the tree to get into it.
Right. I'm getting into it on the
man-made side.
On the ground level. Okay. Yeah. I think so. Okay, Chevra. Shkoyach, thank you for coming to learn. Again, try to email me. As of now, I can't give the shiur next week. Again, when the din Torah starts at 3, technically speaking, it could be done by 7:30, but you can't count on that. So as of now, I have a din Torah scheduled for next week, so we can't learn. But one second, let me just check my calendar just to make sure.
Is that for 2 weeks then?
No, that's correct. That's in 2 weeks. I think you're right. Yeah. No, next week is the 23rd. Yes, yeah, so next week if you give shiur, the Shema is the 30th. Right. Okay, so next week in Mitzvah Shem will have shiur. Okay. Very good. So try to stay on my case to give you Makoros, because I tend to forget these things.
And we're happy to, Rabbi Schwartz.
Okay, have a good night. Have a great Shabbos. And
Shabbos, all thank the best. You.
Okay.
Thank you. Have a good Shabbos.
Good Shabbos.